I barely learned about my life last year, and this also involves my mom, and I asked her if I could share this before actually sharing it with you guys, and I am actually a rape baby. My father, he raped my mother, and she was pregnant. She got pregnant with me, and like I said, that was something that I just found out last year, and to think about that, it's like, man, my mom could have got an abortion. My mom could have just totally let me go. She could have just resented me for all my life. That could have just changed so many things. That could have stopped her from getting a hold of God. That could have stopped her from going forward with her own life. But like the word says, you planned evil against me. God planned it for good. So I know that God had his hand upon my life. Even when I was a young boy, before I was even born, God had his hand upon my life. And so I was a rape baby. I grew up in a household full of gang bangers, drug dealers, partiers, everything. My sister, Avi, whoo! Let me tell you guys, things have changed in her life. I've seen her life completely change. But before, she was, you know, cool. I didn't even like really talking to Avi. I didn't like talking to my brothers. I didn't like talking to anybody. It's just, I was nothing like my family. I thought I didn't belong. I felt something was different. I always wanted to be different from them. But I also grew up in church. So there was two sides of my life. There was where I grew up in church and then where I grew up with the rest of this, the world, the things that a lot of people have to face. And it was rough for me because I kind of wanted to be like my family. I wanted to be in church, but I didn't know. And also my mom, she was a single parent. She was a single parent for 10 years before she got married to my stepdad. So I didn't really know what it was like to have a father figure in my life. And so when he came around, it was like, dude, who is this guy? Like get out of my house. And I remember he would come in and he'd be like, you guys got to clean. You guys got to do this. You guys got to do that. And I'd be like, Mom, I'm not supposed to clean. You are. What's going on? So it was, you know, no, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. But it was hard having this guy come in our house and just begin to change things. So it was weird. And they were both involved in ministry. They both were saved. They both went to church. All these different things they were involved with. But like I said, there was also this other side of my family that was really trying to influence me. And for me, how many are the youngest in this place? Yes, I was the youngest. I was the baby. And so I was always known as the little brother. Hey, you're James' little brother. You're Avi's little brother. You're Veronica's little brother. I'm like, man, yeah. And then it was like, dude, like, who am I? Like, my name is Sonny. Can I get, you know, some type of recognition? No, I didn't know really who I was because it was always like, oh, you're the little kid. You're this, that. And as I got older, I started getting really lonely because of things like that. I really started having problems where it was like, I don't like you guys. I didn't want to be with my family. I didn't want to be with different people. I always wanted to be alone. I started to get real angry. I used to hate people, honestly. I hated everybody. I had a lot of hatred towards my father because he was gone. He was never there. And it hurt me. It was like, dude, you're my dad. You're my father. How come you're not in my life? And though I had my stepdad, it was like, to me, it wasn't the same. To me, it was like there was something missing. There was a father figure that was missing in my life. They would have events at church where it was son and dad, and I couldn't go because, like, all I had was my mom. They had another event where my mom asked a good friend in the church to go with me, but it was like, I remember going, and everyone was sitting there with their dad, and I would look, and I was like, man, this guy's not my dad. I remember for a long time that hurt me, that it was a hard thing all my life. And so I grew up just rebelling. I started to do things that I shouldn't have did. And we stopped going to church. And when my parents stopped going to church, that's when I really I really began to experience the world. That's when I really began to experience things that I always was guarded from. The things that my brothers and sisters faced, those were things that I was starting to come to know after they stopped going to church. And then that's when I got in high school. Actually, I started working at 11 years old. And then I got in high school, and that's when my life really started to begin to change. And in high school, man, there's so much peer pressure. There's so many things that are expected of you as a young man, as a young woman. Things are expected of you when you get to high school. And to me, I wasn't like any of those things. But that's when I started cussing because all my friends cussed. That's when my family had started changing again, and that's when I started changing, and I was looking for something. I started dressing differently. I honestly became obsessed with the way I looked. Like, I remember one night I had just gotten this jersey. It was a Terrell Owens jersey. I'll never forget it. And then I had this nice white sweater to go over it. I had some nice pants. I had just gotten some new shoes. And I remember I was in front of the mirror like this. Man. Shoot. Like, literally, I did that for like 45 minutes. I'm not lying. I did that every day. I was like obsessed with the way I looked. And I started cutting my hair differently. Everything, I started to change. I started becoming like obsessed with the way I looked. And so, like I said, I was trying to become something. I was looking for something that was missing within my life. And that's when I got my first real girlfriend. I was 15 years old. And man, dude, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I was like, man, I got a girlfriend. And let me tell you something. I got kicked out of my house the same night. There's the same day. Like, we got together that night. And then I ended up getting kicked out the next morning. I got kicked out of my house. And it was over some different things. But it was like, whoa, now I'm at my house. Like what's going on? And so with that, like, I started struggling again with loneliness. I had anger problems. I would walk around like this, right? And people would be like, are you mad? No, dude, I'm good. What's up? All the time I would get it, like, what's wrong with you? Why are you mad? I'm not mad. This is just my face. If you don't like it, go away. Like, I was a mean person. I was a really mean person. And honestly, I had suicidal thoughts as well. I remember going in my backyard and sitting there, and I remember I seen my mom and one of my sisters, and I was looking at them, and I was like, man, they don't even care about me. They don't love me. Like, what do I need to live for? Like, what is the purpose of me even being here? Like, they're not going to miss me. I remember sitting there under a tree just thinking that, and I remember I was sitting there looking at my wrist, like, man, why not? Like, it's going to mean nothing. And I remember thinking that. And I really thought that this girl would help me. I really thought that she would be there for me. She always said she would. She's like, I'll be here for you forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, stuff like that. Yeah, late night phone calls. Forever, I love you. Da, 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 da. I really thought she would be there for me. And she made me happy. She made me happy for a time. She made, like, my life changed around. It was different. I had a girlfriend now. I brought her around my family. They were like, oh, when are you guys getting married? Like, dude, I'm 15, but whatever, you know. And so, like, I really thought, like, this was the thing. Like, she was the one. I thought it was, like, forever, right? Avi met her. So, you know, after Avi met her, it was like, okay, it's official. You know, it's cool. And I remember one night, I had never told anybody this, but all my life, like I said, I was telling you guys, I was really lonely. And I remember one night, I went up to her and I told her, I was like, there's something I got to tell you. And it's something I never told anybody, but I'm lonely. She's like, why? I'm here for you. Like, why are you lonely? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I've been lonely all of my life. I've always felt like no one is there for me. Even when I'm around people, I could be in a room full of people and I was lonely. I felt like no one was there for me. She tried to take me to church. That didn't work out. I didn't want to go. She tried to get me to get saved, and it was like, I don't want to. We actually came here, and we went to church. We came to Victory Outreach. That was the first time I came out here. And, like, I didn't want to get saved. I didn't want to give my life to God. I thought that God didn't want me, despite being prophesied over when I was 11 years old. I didn't want to give my life to God. I didn't know how to live for God. I didn't have anybody there for me. And so with this girl, we ended up breaking up. And for this girl, like, I had left all my friends. I had left my family. And when we broke up, it was like, dude, who do I kick it with now? I remember I was kicking it with this guy. I didn't even really like him, but it was like I had no one else to kick it with because I left all my friends for her. And so, like I said, we broke up, and we were together for over a year, right? And so it was like, whoa, I'm single. And so, like, I thought I found love, but it was in the wrong place. And so within a few weeks, like, I had a new girlfriend, so, you know, it wasn't really love. And less than a month, we broke up. And on the same day we broke up, your boy broke his leg. So it was like, man, I broke my leg. It was a horrible day. It was a horrible day. And, like, from that point, I remember, I was like, man, dude, I need something. So I remember I would try to talk to every girl that I could talk to. Like, literally, I'd be like, hey, let me get your number, okay? Let me text you. All right, let me text you. And it was like I wanted to talk to every girl possible. It was ridiculous. But it's I was trying to find something. I was really searching for something. And even the anger that I had, it got deeper. The anger that I had, the way that I seen people, I used to picture myself killing people. Like me, I won't kill people. I won't even hit people. To me, it's crazy. But just to think those thoughts is like, why would I think those thoughts? When I was angry, I would put certain songs on to listen to them, and they would make me want to do something to somebody. When I was sad, I would listen to songs, and it made me even more lonely. I got mad at people for nothing. I would hit things. I got scars on my hands to prove it. I was an angry little kid. I didn't know what to do with my life. My parents, I blame them for a lot of things. My family, I blame them for a lot of things. But one day, I looked in the mirror, and I'll never forget. I looked in the mirror, and I was like, man, who is this? Who are you? I started becoming someone that I said I would never be. I started becoming someone that I always hated. And so when I looked in the mirror, it was like, man, who are you? And I was unhappy with myself. I was unhappy with who I was becoming. I was unhappy with where my life was ending up. And I wanted to change, but I didn't know how. And that's when a miracle happened. My sister got saved. And when my sister got saved, it was like, Avi got saved? I don't believe it. Right? And so when Avi came around talking about Jesus, I was like, dude, be quiet. Oh, man, I could not stand it. And we would drive in the car, and she used to play, like, all kind of Christian music. And I was like, dude, this is whack. Change this. But she was sold out. She was like, Jesus, Jesus. And I was like, no, girl, get on my face. But like I said, my life was headed nowhere fast, and a miracle happened. But I wanted nothing to do with it. Then my sister Veronica got saved, and I remember she came over to my house, and she was trying to teach me how to pray. And I was like, dude, I don't want to pray. I don't want to get saved. Like, leave me alone with your Jesus. You guys can have him. But it was they wanted me to give my life to God. They wanted me to give my life to God. And that's when a tragedy happened. That's when a very close friend of ours, she killed herself. You guys, I shared this story with a lot of you guys. And I remember the night I found out, it was like, whoa, like Christina died. Like, she killed herself. What? Like, why? And I remember just looking at a picture of her and just crying for hours. I woke up crying, and it was rough. It was a crazy thing, because she was one of the most beautiful girls I had ever seen, but she was so insecure. She was so self-conscious. She hated so much. So many things had happened within her life, and she ended her life. I remember seeing her brothers after that, and they would just cry. I remember seeing my sisters, and they would cry. And I remember talking to my mom, and she was like, it's time to go back to church. And so we went back to church. We went back to church, and I got involved in the youth gang, but I wasn't saved. I wasn't living right. I was still cussing. I was still trying to do things that I shouldn't have been doing. And God was really trying to get a hold of me. It was like, it was more than ever. And I wanted to serve God so much. Like, it every service God tugged in my heart, but I'd be like, mm-mm. Like, I'm not going to the altar. I'm not going to surrender these things. I remember driving home one time. I was all by myself. And like I said, I wasn't saved. I didn't even have a license, but I was driving, picking people up for service, dropping them off. And I remember driving home. I was on the freeway, and I was like, God, I can't serve you. I can't. And I told God, after I get out of high school, I'll serve you. I'll never forget that night. And another night, I went far out into the parking lot, and I just stood. And I remember I looked up to the sky, and I prayed for the first time in years. And like, God was really trying to get a hold of me. God was really, really trying to get a hold of me. And then I remember I went to my first youth convention, which youth convention is coming up, and we all need to be there. We all need to be at youth convention. We need to rep hard, because let me tell you, whether you go wanting God or you go not wanting God, God will get a hold of you. I went not wanting God, and I left not wanting God. But once I got home, man, God started dealing with me. God started really dealing with me. And when I went, I didn't go to any altar calls. I didn't say any prayers. I didn't do none of that. But God grabbed a hold of my life. And like I said, when I was younger, I got prophesied over, and I was told that one day I would be a great pastor. And I remember that whole week, God was like, just telling me that, like, you're going to be a great pastor. And I was like, no, why me? I don't want to do it. This is not for me. And God was like, I want you to go. I want you to go. And I was like, dude, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? And that's when I went to the training center. I went to the UTC in LA. And I encourage each and every one of you guys, separate your life. Don't be afraid to step out and go to the training center, because you never, never know what God can do. All these things that had happened in my life, all these bad things, the every time I would go to my family's house and they would try to pass me a blunt, every time I would go to my family's house and they would try to get me to drink with them, every time something happened, it was like God had his hand upon my life. I'm 21 years old and I've never done drugs. God had his hand upon my life. And even though there was evil things around me, even though I never gangbanged, even though I never did drugs, even though all these things that happened were evil, they were all around me, but God had his hand upon me. You planned evil against me. God planned it for good, to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Now, when I went to the training center, God started dealing with my life. God started dealing with that loneliness within my life. God started dealing with all the anger that was welled up inside of me. God started dealing with all the things that I had faced, the unforgiveness of my parents, the unforgiveness of my father, the unforgiveness of all these different things. And I remember I did not want to serve God, even though I was there. I did not want to serve God. But I was in a place that he was going to grab a hold of me despite anything. And I remember Because I knew what raising my hands was. I knew what that meant. And I remember everyone was like, why don't you lift your hands in service? Why don't you lift your hands in service? And I was like, because I know what it means and I don't want to. I'm not ready. So they would try to take me to evangelize. They would take me to get on the bullhorn. And I was like, dude, I'm not even saved. Why do you want me to do this? And I was ashamed of God. I was ashamed of where I was at, but God was not ashamed of me. And so I remember one morning in chapel, they had an altar call, and usually I didn't make them, but I went. And I remember I had my hands in my pocket like this. They were coming out my pockets like this. And like, I wanted to lift my hands, but everything in my mind was, no, people are going to talk about you. No, don't do it. Nah, you know, God doesn't want you. But I could not fight it. God wanted me so bad. And I just remember I lifted up my hands. And as soon as I lifted up my hands, I started crying. And God just started doing something within my life from that point on. And a lot of you young people, I know what it's like to want to serve God, but feel like you can't. I know what it's like to go through things with your family and feel like God's not even here. I know what it's like to face things and want to give up on God. I know what it's like to have peer pressure all around you. I know what it's like. But let me tell you, God wants to use each and every one of you for greater things than we can imagine. God wants to get a hold of your lives, but it's up to you as young people to step into the calling that God has upon your life. I know it's hard. I know that it's hard. I know it's like, what are people going to say about you? What are people going to think about you? You're not good enough. God doesn't want you. But that is a lie. Whatever you face to this day, whatever you go through at home, God intends it for good. God can use your life for great things. But you have to step into it. You have to be willing to surrender to God. You have to be willing to surrender to God. Now, dealing with loneliness and anger, dealing with hatred and unforgiveness is a hard thing. I had to forgive my dad. I had to forgive my mom. I had to forgive my stepdad. I had to forgive my family. I had to forgive everybody around me. And most of all, I had to forgive myself. I didn't want to be angry anymore. I didn't want to be lonely anymore. I didn't want to have all these things stuck inside of me. I finally wanted to be happy. And once I gave it to God, once I got down on my knees and told God to take it from me, did he? He did. And he gave me a joy that I cannot even explain. He gave me a happiness that I can't even understand to this day, because God washed me. He forgave me of my sins, and he could do the exact same thing for each and every one of us. But it's up to us. If you struggle with insecurities, if you look in the mirror and tell yourself, you know, you're not good enough, it's a lie. For you girls that look in the mirror and you see nothing but ugliness, that's a lie. For you young men that aren't confident, God wants you to be confident. God wants those areas within our lives that hurt us the most. God wants those areas in our life that affect us the most. The things that hold us back from him, God wants them the most. If I could have the keyboard player come up. You planned evil against me. God planned it for good, to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Now, I know a lot of you guys face a lot of things. And I know sometimes it's hard to even talk about. It's hard to talk to other people about. It's hard to face, just looking in the mirror. It's hard to talk to yourself about. It's hard to give things up. It's hard to let go of the past. It's hard to let go of the things that stop you right now. I held on to things that I hated the most. I held on to things that I didn't even like, that I didn't want within my life, but I held on to them. And even while I was in the training center right there trying to serve God, I still held on to things. But as my relationship with God, as it grew, as my relationship with God got stronger, I didn't want those things anymore. Those evil things that the enemy wanted to use against me to take my own life, God wanted to use for good. And because I've overcome those things, now that I can smile a true smile, I have the keys. I have the keys to show someone else that no matter what you go through, that God is the answer. That Jesus Christ died for each and every one of our sins, and that because of that, we are forgiven. That way someone else can once again be truly happy. That their family can be changed. That their own lives can be changed. But it's up to us to come to God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And I don't know what everybody faces in here. Whether you face things that you can't tell anyone about, whether you face things that you don't like. But God is always open. God is always there. And so I'm going to open the altars tonight. And what I want everybody to do is I want them to make their way and just give everything to God tonight. Because when it's you against the world, God is your only strength. These altars are open.